A personal word before we begin. Before we go any further, I want to speak carefully and honestly. This message is not being shared from a distance. The sorrow of a miscarriage has now touched my own family, just as it has touched countless families who have walked this same painful road. When a child is lost before we have the opportunity to hold that child, there is a grief that can be difficult for others to see and almost impossible for the family to explain. Hopes were already forming. Love was already present. A future was already being imagined. Then, in a moment, those hopes were met with heartbreak. I know that some listening today may be carrying this pain right now. Others may have carried it quietly for many years. This message is not meant to give quick answers, minimize anyone's sorrow, or explain what only God fully understands. It is offered with a serious and gentle heart to acknowledge the life that was loved, to honor the parents and families who are grieving, and to turn our wounded hearts toward Jesus Christ. He does not stand far away from our suffering. He comes near, he sees every tear, and he holds the brokenhearted in his arms. There are some losses that are difficult to explain. There are some sorrows that reach so deeply into the heart that ordinary words seem inadequate. The loss of a child through miscarriage is one of those sorrows. For many parents, the love for that child began the moment they learned there was life in the womb. Dreams began to form. Names may have been discussed. A future was imagined. Then suddenly, everything changed. The parents may be left with questions, confusion, disappointment, and overwhelming grief. Some people may not understand the depth of that loss. They may say something intended to be helpful, but that brings more pain. They may say, "You can try again." They may say, "At least it happened early." They may say, "Everything happens for a reason." But to the grieving parents, this was not simply a medical event. This was their child. This was a life they loved. Today, we are not going to pretend that this pain is small. We are not going to offer shallow answers. Instead, we are going to turn to the God who sees every tear, knows every child, and draws near to the brokenhearted. Let us open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with tender hearts. Some among us may be carrying a sorrow that words cannot fully express, the loss of a child through miscarriage. Lord, please draw near to every grieving mother, every grieving father, and every family touched by this kind of loss. Give us wisdom, compassion, and grace as we open your word. May those who are hurting feel your presence. May they know that they are not forgotten, that their child is not forgotten, and that their tears are seen by you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There are some losses that are difficult to explain. There are some sorrows that reach so deeply into the heart that ordinary words seem inadequate. The loss of a child through miscarriage is one of those sorrows. For many parents, the love for that child began the moment they learned there was life in the womb. Dreams began to form. Names may have been discussed. A future was imagined. Then suddenly, everything changed. The parents may be left with questions, confusion, disappointment, and overwhelming grief. Some people may not understand the depth of that loss. They may say something intended to be helpful, but that brings more pain. They may say, "You can try again." They may say, "At least it happened early." They may say, "Everything happens for a reason." But to the grieving parents, this was not simply a medical event. This was their child. This was a life they loved. Today, we are not going to pretend that this pain is small. We are not going to offer shallow answers. Instead, we are going to turn to the God who sees every tear, knows every child, and draws near to the brokenhearted. Psalm chapter 139 verses 13 to 16 says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." These words remind us that a child in the womb is never hidden from God. Before anyone else could see that child, God saw that child. Before the parents could hold that child, God knew that child. Before doctors could measure growth or hear a heartbeat, the Lord was already present. The child may have been small in the eyes of the world, but that life was never small in the eyes of God. That baby was created by God, known by God, and loved by God. This truth matters because grieving parents may wonder, did my baby matter? The answer is yes. That child mattered to the parents, and that child mattered to God. There is no life so brief that it escapes the knowledge of the Lord. There is no child so small that God does not see. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Notice that the Bible does not say believers will never experience a broken heart. It says that when our hearts are broken, the Lord is close. God does not stand far away from suffering. He draws near. When a mother cries in the quietness of the night, God is near. When a father tries to remain strong while grieving inside, God is near. When a couple struggles to speak to one another because they're processing the loss differently, God is near. When they walk past a room that might have become a nursery, God is near. When the expected due date arrives, God is near. When another pregnancy announcement brings both happiness and pain, God is near. Psalm 56, verse 8 says, "Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?" This is a picture of God remembering every tear. Not one tear is wasted. Not one moment of grief is overlooked. God is not offended by our tears. Jesus himself wept at the tomb of Lazarus. John 11, verse 35 simply says, "Jesus wept." Jesus knew that Lazarus would soon be raised from the dead, yet he still entered into the sorrow of those who were grieving. That teaches us something important. Faith does not mean we do not grieve. Trusting God does not mean we do not cry. A Christian may have strong faith and still have a broken heart. Tears are not evidence that faith has failed. Sometimes tears are the language of a heart that has no other words. After a miscarriage, a mother may wonder, did I do something wrong? She may replay every decision. She may think about what she ate, how much she worked, whether she exercised too much, whether she rested enough, or whether she missed a warning sign. A father may also feel helpless. He may wonder whether he could have done something to protect his wife or child. While every medical situation is different, parents should not automatically carry guilt for something they could not control. We live in a world that has been affected by sin and brokenness. Romans 8 describes creation as groaning under the effects of the fall. That does not mean a miscarriage happened because the parents committed a particular sin. Jesus rejected that kind of thinking in John 9 when the disciples asked who had sinned to cause a man's blindness. Not every tragedy is a direct punishment for a specific action. Sometimes painful things happen because we live in a world where bodies become sick, pregnancies experience complications, and life does not always unfold as we hoped. There may be questions that remain unanswered, but the grieving parents do not need condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The Lord does not want a mother or father to live beneath a crushing weight of false guilt. Jesus invites us to bring every burden to Him. In times of loss, people may ask, why did God allow this? That is an honest question. The Bible contains many people who ask difficult questions. Job asked questions. David asked questions. Jeremiah asked questions. Habakkuk asked questions. God is not frightened by our questions. We may not receive every answer in this life, but we can still know the character of God. God is good. God is loving. God is compassionate. God is faithful. God is not cruel. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Our faith does not rest upon understanding every circumstance. Our faith rests upon knowing the one who holds us in every circumstance. There will be moments when we cannot understand God's plan, but we can still trust God's heart. The cross of Jesus Christ is the greatest evidence that God understands suffering. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was wounded. Jesus experienced sorrow. Jesus suffered death. Hebrews 4 verse 15 tells us that Jesus is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. When grieving parents pray, they are not praying to a distant God who knows nothing about pain. They are praying to Jesus, the man of sorrows, who is acquainted with grief. Christians grieve, but we do not grieve without hope. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13 says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope." Paul did not say that Christians do not grieve. He said that we grieve differently because we have hope. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried. On the third day, he rose from the grave. Because Jesus lives, death will not have the final word. Revelation 21 verse 4 gives us this promise. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. One day, God will make all things new. There will be no more hospitals. There will be no more tragic phone calls. There will be no more miscarriages. There will be no more empty arms. There will be no more graves. There will be no more separation. There will be no more death. Every tear will be wiped away by the hand of God. The Bible does not answer every question we may have about children who die before birth. However, we can trust that the judge of all the earth will always do what is right. We can entrust these precious children into the loving, righteous, and merciful hands of God. David experienced the death of his infant son. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, David said, "I will go to him, but he will not return to me." David understood that his child would not return to this earthly life, but he expressed hope that one day he would go to his child. For grieving Christian parents, this passage has brought comfort for generations. We do not build our hope upon emotion alone. We build our hope upon the goodness of God, the mercy of God, and the victory of Jesus Christ over death. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." The church should be a safe place for grieving parents. We may not always know what to say. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is simply be present. We can listen. We can pray. We can bring a meal. We can remember important dates. We can speak the child's name when the parents have chosen one. We can allow them to grieve without rushing them. We should not tell them when they ought to be over it. Grief does not follow a calendar. A mother and father may grieve differently. One may cry openly. The other may become quiet. One may want to talk. The other may need time before speaking. Neither response necessarily means one parent loved the child more than the other. The church should give them patience, grace, and room to heal. Romans 12 verse 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn." Sometimes ministry means preaching. Sometimes ministry means teaching. Sometimes ministry means sitting beside someone and quietly mourning with them. Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus does not say, "Come to me when you have all the answers." He says, "Come to me when you are weary." He does not say, "Come to me after you have stopped crying." He says, "Come to me when you are burdened." You can come to Jesus with your questions. You can come with your sorrow. You can come with your disappointment. You can come with your anger. You can come with your fear about the future. You can come with empty hands and a broken heart. He will receive you. To the mother who has lost a child, Jesus sees you. To the father who feels forgotten in the grief, Jesus sees you. To the grandparents who are already dreaming about holding that baby, Jesus sees you. To the family members who do not know what to say, Jesus will give you grace. To the couple who fears trying again, Jesus will walk with you one day at a time. You do not have to carry this sorrow alone. Our deepest hope is not found in circumstances becoming easy. Our deepest hope is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son. Jesus died upon the cross, taking the punishment for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. Anyone who turns from sin and places their faith in Jesus Christ will be forgiven, made new, and given eternal life. Jesus does not promise a life without sorrow. He promises to be with us in our sorrow. He promises never to leave us. He promises eternal life. He promises resurrection. He promises that one day every tear will be gone. If you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you can come to him today. You can pray from your heart. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Please forgive me. I place my faith in you. Be my Savior and Lord. Give me new life and help me to follow you. Amen. In closing, to every family who has experienced miscarriage, your child mattered. Your love mattered. Your grief matters. Your tears matter. And you matter to God. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He will walk with you through every painful day. There may always be a tender place in your heart for the child you lost. Healing does not mean forgetting. Healing means learning to carry that love and sorrow while allowing Jesus to carry you. We may not understand everything today, but we know this. God is faithful. Jesus is alive. Death has been defeated. And one day, Christ will make all things new. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we lift before you every mother and father who has experienced the loss of a child through miscarriage. Lord, comfort them in the places where words cannot reach. Remove false guilt from their hearts. Give them peace when questions remain unanswered. Strengthen their marriages and families. Help them to be patient with one another as they grieve in different ways. Surround them with loving, compassionate believers who will listen, pray, and walk beside them. Thank you that every child is known by you. Thank you that every tear is seen by you. Thank you that Jesus conquered sin and death. Help us to hold tightly to the hope of the resurrection and the promise that one day there will be no more mourning, crying, pain, or death. Until that day, carry those who are hurting and hold them close to your heart. In the loving and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.